And Lord, that is our prayer. Yes. That we would together, be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Yeah. Lord, that we'd bring a smile to your face today as we stand in your presence, loving you, remembering all that you've done for us, and looking forward to all that will yet be. So, Lord, we just give you our grateful praise today. Oh, just take a moment to just tell him in your own words that you love him. Oh, we love you. I love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, we worship you. Oh, you are a good, good God. Ha-ha. Have your way, Lord. Lord, we just yield to you. Open up our hearts. We open up our hearts to hear from you today, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, we are so dependent on you. Thank you for your presence in our midst. We honor you. Oh, we honor him, don't we, church? We honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And it's lovely to have the children in here with us today. So, children, you've been given one of these. Hands up if you've opened it and seen it. Now, I've talked to Jackie about this. Have you got the bag of goodies there, Jackie? Where are they? Where's the box? It's a mystery box. Ah, underneath our seat, there's a box. It's got goodies in it, I understand. Thank you. Okay. So here it is, children. So if you look at this page with the writing on it, that's all you're going to pick it all up as you listen to me speak today. And if you fill that in and complete it, you come and see me at the end of the meeting and you can have a look in the box and take something out of it. So I would encourage parents, just help them to engage them. You know, we will try and, you know, not go too long so that the children can receive, you know, as well in the meeting, because we like everybody. You know, it's always challenged me that when Jesus spoke, all ages were present and all of them were receiving. And so open up your hearts today so all ages, no matter how old we are today, you will receive something from the Lord. So there we are, kids. It's all over to you. I look forward to seeing your papers later. I don't even know what's in this box. I'll be interested to see myself. Aha. Very good. I think that was all I needed to say. Maybe I'll take this off. I'm warming up.
That's good.
Hasn't the weather been strange lately? Oh. You know, I had some summer clothes I would have loved to have worn today, but the time will come, won't it? We trust. Yeah, okay. Well, as introduction today, I'm sure we all have something like this in common. I just want to talk about some of the things, because we live in a broken world, that we experience because of brokenness, just to kick us off today. So children, listen up. Because this happens when you're young. How many of you have ever experienced rejection? How many of you have ever been laughed at? How many of you have ever been falsely accused and lied about? Oh, that's awful, isn't it? How many have been betrayed? That's horrible. You know, when you really love someone and then they turn around and stab you in the back. And that happens when we're very young, and it happens throughout our life. But you know, I just want to tell you this as we start today. Jesus experienced all of that and more. Jesus understands rejection, betrayal, false accusation, abuse, the works. He experienced it. And what caused him to endure? What caused him to be able to stand against all the opposition that he had thrown at him, even from his family? Because in the end, he was rejected by every single part of society, wasn't he? You know, ultimately. Oh, you think I might trip over it, do you? Thank you, Geraldine. Yeah. So there we are. So what caused him to be able to endure, to sustain right through the journey? And I make a suggestion to you, it's because of his relationship with his father. His relationship with his father anchored him in life. It sustained him. It energized him. He received everything that he needed from that relationship. And it was about 30 plus years ago, probably, when God began to speak to me about my relationship with Heavenly Father. I thought, I must just find out, how did Jesus actually relate to his dad? So I went on a journey, and I looked particularly in John's Gospel, and I found all these scriptures that help us to understand how he related to his father. Because he is our pattern of sonship. And I was studying it to see, how am I going to relate to God as my father? And it became a huge challenge. And I just love some of these scripture verses. I just love it. Some of the things that tell us about how Jesus related to his father. And this is the relationship that he's purchased for us. Because when we have communion, you know, we celebrated all those amazing things that he has done in his death. But you know, he came as the way to the Father. Did you know that? He was not an end in himself. He came to make the way so that we would enter into a relationship with Father God like he has and still has. Now that is awesome news. Because everybody has a place in their heart where we long to be fathered. Am I right? We look for dads, even as you might be an older man, but we still look for dads. You might be an older woman, and we still look for dads because God has created us this way. And so I just really felt on my heart to take some moments and look at the relationship that Jesus had with his father, knowing that one day, in all of its completeness, it's going to be ours. But we've started the journey already. When does God, Jesus' father, become our father? This is for the children to hear this because it's one of the questions. When does God, our father, Jesus' father, become our father? Ha, come on. Yeah, when does he? Well, I think we have to activate it, don't we? Yeah. He becomes our father when we receive Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right and the authority to become sons and daughters of God, which automatically then makes God our Father. Yes. So if you're a Christian in this place today, and you know you're a child of God, son of God, daughter of God, God, Jesus' Father, is your Father. Amen. So how well do we know him? Hallelujah. So I'm just going to start with the first words, children, that describe this relationship. Here's the first one. Love. This is the key to his relationship. You know, did Jesus know that his father loved him? Absolutely. Now, I have put some of the scripture verses up there, and some of them are just lovely. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. There's some beautiful verses. And I love this one. Did Jesus love the Father? And this verse, oh, you could preach a whole message just on this verse. I do as the Father has commanded me. Why? So the world may know that I love the Father. Do you know, he went to the cross. Sometimes I think we think it was all because he loved us. But I think in his heart, he endured the cross because he wanted to show the world how much he loved his father. Just take a moment to think about that. You know, that has caught my attention when I've read it and I've just pondered on it. He did what the father asked him to do because he wanted the world to know that he loved his dad. And so this relationship between Jesus and his father was built on love. They loved each other. And there are so many scriptures that will bear that out. Because we know when Jesus was water baptized, you know, the Father proclaimed it, so all heard it. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, a lot of these verses have just been quickened to me, you know, over the years. And I remember when I read that one day, I said, the Father was pleased with Jesus, but he hadn't even begun his ministry yet. Because, you know, I had a really performance orientation in my life. And I thought, oh, goodness me, Jesus hasn't done anything that I would consider important yet. And yet the Father's pleased with him. How does that work? Anyone ever had that kind of thinking in this house? You've got to do the important things and the Father will be pleased with you. But I believe he was pleased with him because he was his son. I tell you, when I held my children in my arms, I hadn't done anything. There's little babies and I'm so pleased with them. Because they belong to me, you delight in them because they belong to you. Oh, it took me a few years. And I was, when I first became a Christian, I was 17. That's when I received Jesus and I became a child of God, a daughter of God. But really it took till about 45 before some of the stuff began to be revealed to me. So it doesn't have to wait that long for you here. I tell my grandchildren that if they're listening to me. I said, you know, your strength's ahead of me at 17, I tell Kira. You don't have to go through all of this healing process when you're 45 if you let God do it when you're young. So listen up, kids. Listen up. Okay, so a beautiful relationship built on love and pleasure in each other. Next word. And it comes with it. Trust. They had a mutual trust in one another. That's a beautiful word. Trust isn't just, you know, I think there's a huge distinction between trust and faith. You know, we use them interchangeably, but they're different words in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Faith is more about believing what God said he would do. Trust is trusting in who he is in his very character. Did the Father trust Jesus? Yes. Yep, that verse is just one of them. All things have been committed to me by my Father. And you're not going to give everything to someone if you don't trust them, right? So the Father trusted his son in sending him to earth. What about Jesus? Did Jesus trust his father? You know, it was actually used against him, you know, around the cross. This is horrible. This is what the, you know, his enemies were saying around the cross. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So Jesus had a testimony that he trusted in God. But his greatest challenge was on the cross. And I have preached on this some years back. But Jesus' greatest challenge, I believe, in trust was on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't believe that Jesus actually understood that the Father would forsake him. He had sensed that bereftness as sin came upon him and sickness, and he felt the presence of the Father lift off him because he had told his disciples, you may all leave me, you may all forsake me, but my Father will never leave me alone. So now he's walking through something that is totally contradictory to what he actually believes. And so he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I don't think any of us as human beings can really enter into or fully comprehend what was going on the inside of him. But the next words he cried out was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Is that a prayer of trust? Even though he didn't understand what was happening, he could come back and say, Father, I know you. He really knew his dad very well. I trust you, even though I don't understand. And that's been another huge message I've learned in walking with Jesus and walking with his Father. There are many times you don't always understand what's going on. But Jesus trusted even when he didn't understand. That's amazing trust, isn't it? There was such mutual trust between them. And we spend a lot of our time struggling always to trust God. Am I right? It's an ongoing journey, learning to trust him. But you know, there are times when I believe that if you're going to have a very healthy relationship, the Father is looking for kids that he can trust. Have you thought about that? You see, if I was the only one in my relationship with Wayne, I trusted him, and he didn't trust me, then it's not much of a relationship, is it? True? Be way one-sided. Wayne, do you trust me? I trust Wayne. It has to be for a healthy relationship that mutually you have to trust one another. You know, and we put a lot of emphasis on trusting God. But have we actually thought that he's looking for kids today that he can trust? That when you speak to him and you promise him things, you're actually going to be reliable and trustworthy. You're going to follow through on what you say. You're going to keep your covenant with him. If you've made promises to him, can he rely on you? Can he trust you? That's huge, isn't it? You don't always think about God trusting us, but he is looking for ones he can trust. That's huge, isn't it? It's the only way it's going to be a healthy relationship. It has to go both ways. Yeah. Are you thinking? Yeah. I can sense it. what's the next word? Now, this is amazing. Dependency. This is what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Only what he sees the Father do, and you can look it up later. And later on, I can of myself do nothing. Oh, dear me. You know, I always, you know, this is what it's like in life, isn't it? You know, you have your children, and they grow up in your home, and really part of parenting is to teach them how to live independently of you. Am I right? And so I used to think that the more mature I became, the more independent I would become. Like, independence is a sign of maturity. No. Not when you look at the relationship with Father God. Because was he the most mature person that ever walked on the earth? I'd say so. But he was the most dependent. He actually said, I can't do anything of myself. I thought, oh dear, that's going to take us a lifetime to learn church. Because we're so good at doing stuff, aren't we? You know? I won't go into it in a whole lot of detail, but I think you understand what I'm saying. It really, he just knew that he couldn't do anything unless he had heard from his Father. Actually, I've had to really learn. And really, when you preach this kind of message, I tell you, you're challenged on it all the time. But yeah, okay, Lord, I need to be very dependent on you this morning. I can't rely on the fact that I've preached a lot in my life. I'm actually totally dependent on him today. Well, preachers understand that, don't you? Yep. Yeah. If you're going to witness or do anything, we are totally dependent on him. It's not about us. It's about him. That's why I thought it was just beautiful this morning, those songs. Thank you, Paulette, those choice of songs. It was all about him. And that's how it's going to come more and more, isn't it? It has to be about him. And he was the one, Jesus was the one who just showed us that it was all about his Father and he couldn't do anything of himself. Now the next word, oh, that's another huge word, surrender. It's a huge word because this is what he said in John chapter 6, verse 38, for I've come down from heaven. Do you want to read it with me? Read it with me. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Oh. Now, sometimes we think he only battled that at the Garden of Gethsemane when he went through a huge crisis. You know, was he going to do the Father's will, or was he going to, you know, and understandably, the struggle came, was he going to exercise his own will? But you see, Jesus did have a will. He didn't come as a puppet, you know, a robot. He had his own will, but he chose to lay his will down to do the Father's will. I just heard Wayne give a great big sigh. I mean, it's a challenge. And this word is to challenge the boots off us, really. As we're growing in our relationship with Father God, there will be times when your will conflict with his will. Have you ever had a conflict when God has asked you to do something and you say no and he says yes? Oh, yes. And, you know, we'll never pay the price that he paid. But there are some times when God asks us to do things, and it does become costly. I remember very clearly, back numbers of years ago, you know, Pastor Peter Morrow opened up a Bible school. And I was second year high school teaching. And I just felt God began to talk to me about leaving teaching and going to Bible school. Oh, I was enjoying teaching. go to Bible school. How am I ever going to tell the principal? Because I had that verse straightway, they left their nets and followed him. And I thought, I can't go and tell the principal I'm going to leave in the middle of a year. I actually didn't in the end because, you know, I knew I had a responsibility to the senior classes that I was teaching. But I was just so struggling. And Peter Morrow, you know, all those who remember him, he's very prophetic. He gets up to preach one night and he says, he's preaching from that verse where it says, you know, the fool said in his heart, no God. But this is how he put it. He said, the fool has said in his heart, and then he quoted it, there's someone here tonight saying no to God about going to Bible school. That was a bit in your face, wasn't it? Oh, I remember. You know, an altar call was given and dear Anne was there. We know Anne, and she helped me. I was a mess. So, you know, but you see, sometimes we actually are asked to lay down our own will, to follow his will. And, yeah, do we love him enough? Because none of these things would happen if they didn't love one another. That just proves how much we love him, doesn't it? You know, when he challenges you about going overseas or even going overseas last year, I mean, he began to challenge me. I thought, okay, yes, okay. I know, I knew if he spoke, I'd have to say yes, but I didn't feel quite as young as they did. But you know, the more we love him, the easier it is to lay down our own will and follow his will. And did I regret going to Bible school? No, because it opened up the whole door into my destiny. I went full-time in children's ministry, which I did for many, many years. I became on staff. But I didn't know that at the time. But sometimes you have to be prepared to lay down stuff before you actually know what the future holds. You have to do this part first before you enter into this part. Anyone say amen to that?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's Jesus. Don't you love him? And that last verse says, there's the verse I was quoting. The Father has not left me alone. He really thought the Father was going to be with him right through, I'm sure. And he says, for I always do those things that please him. He was not a man pleaser, Jesus. He was a Father pleaser. Well, that's another huge challenge, isn't it? Sometimes we're so motivated because we want people to like us. And we want to please people. Nothing wrong with to please people, but sometimes that conflicts, doesn't it? Who we're going to please, the Father or ourselves or others? So that's surrender. Next one. Obedience. Because out of all of this, of course, he obeyed. And this is the one I quoted to you at the beginning. So really, Jesus obeyed his Father by going to the cross because he wanted the world to know that I love the Father. His obedience was out of love. Not because he had to. You know, I always think, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Abba, Daddy, Father, you know, not my will, but yours be done. I looked at that one day and I thought, my goodness me, if I was really in any way struggling out, that surely he should be saying, Lord, Master, kind of talk, you know, and surrendering. But he didn't. It was Abba, Daddy, Father, not my will, but yours be done. I mean, amazing relationship, wasn't it? And yet he's the pattern son, remember that. This is the relationship that he is building in all of us. We're not there yet, but let's just have a glimpse of what it looks like to relate to Father God. Amen? Obedience. And next one. Well, they were, because of all that's gone before, they were one in spirit. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. That's unity, isn't it? And I love this verse. I got it in the Passion. And this is a secret to his ministry, and it's a secret to our ministry too. Read it with me. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own. There we are. But come from my Father who lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Oh, Chris Gore is so good on this, if you've heard Chris Gore. You know, ministry is about allowing the Christ in us. You know, the greatest revelation that I think that God is talking to us about is really coming to comprehend that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And then ministry flows out of that. It's not what I do, it's not what I say, but his life flowing through us. And I think the more and more we actually understand that, the more and more we're going to see miracles abound. Amen? Don't you love it? And he performs his miracles of power through me. Jesus wasn't even taking credit, you know, for the miracles. He was saying it's his Father working within me. Yeah, wonders. Moving right along, we're doing well. Honor. Oh, there's some verses here I just so love. You know, they were accusing Jesus of having a demon. But he says, I honor my Father and I do not seek my own glory. Just ponder that. If you don't think about anything else, when you go from tonight, today, how much do we want to honor the Father? You know, sometimes, you know, if we're really honest, we do seek glory for ourselves and you continually battle that, don't you? You know, wanting to take some of the glory, some of the praise, you know. It's just in our fallen nature, really. God has to deal with it, that we really do just want him to receive all the glory. And now this part here, this next verse, it has sustained me many times. He was talking to his disciples about his coming death again, and he said, now is my soul troubled. Like this, you know, you've got to understand, he was in a human body like ours. He would understand that in his humanity part, he was going to suffer beyond what any of us would ever, ever comprehend. And he says, and what shall I say? This is a prayer he could have prayed. Father, save me from this hour. Anyone ever prayed prayers like that? Get me out of here, God. Deliver me. Sooner the better. Help. But this is what he says, for this purpose I've come to this hour. And I think we need to recognize that we live in destiny. We're all here at such a time as this. And he chose to pray this prayer. This is one of the highest prayers I believe we can actually pray. Father, glorify your name. And that so helped me. I tell you, when this was first quickened to me, was way back, some years back now, when my late husband, Jackie's dad, was diagnosed with cancer, and we'd prayed and prayed, and it looked like we were going to lose him. And I didn't, and I'd look up this verse, and I'd say, God, save me from this hour. It was tough. Then I found that Jesus prayed, Father, glorify your name. So when you don't know what to pray and you feel like you want to get out of a situation, can I just suggest, if you don't know the outcomes, pray, Father, glorify your name. Jesus prayed it, and it's a beautiful prayer, so simple. And I wondered at this point, as we're in this moment in the message, if you have something that you're really grappling with yourself right now, and you don't know how it's going to turn out, it might be a family member or something, and you just wish you could deliver them and deliver yourself, whatever, but why don't we just pray it? Should we just stand for a moment and pray it for anything personal that you're facing when you'd really like the situation to go away? But we're going to choose to be like Jesus, and we want our Father to receive the glory. And I do believe when after, you know, we walk through the whole sadness of Andrew leaving, God has glorified, thankfully, in our lives and the lives of my children. He has. Anyone who knows the story would say, would you say yes, the ones who know? He has glorified his name. So it's the highest prayer we can pray today. So I'm just going to suggest that you just pray it, just speak it out, and then we're going to do it for our nation, because the nation's at a critical time. How many of us would like to be delivered from this hour? Chuckles tell me everything. But we're going to pray, Father, glorify your name over our nation. You know, that's the highest prayer we can pray in these days coming up to the election. You know, that's going to unite everybody in this place, I am sure. We can pray a prayer of oneness and unity that we want to see our Father glorified. Hallelujah. So let's just pray relating to ourselves, if there's anything you're really struggling with, and just say, Father, glorify your name. Just speak it out. Father, glorify your name. That can just shift stuff. I can tell you, it shifted stuff for me more than once. Lord, it's all about your glory. It's not what we want. But Lord, we want to see you glorified. We choose to say what Jesus said. I honor my Father. I do not seek glory for myself. Oh. That is shifting some stuff in this room for some people right now. You've changed from how you're feeling about a situation, and you're just really wanting God to receive all the glory, no matter the outcome, no matter how painful it might be. We want you, Father, to receive the glory. Now, can I encourage us? You can go home and meditate on that and develop it for yourself. But can I just encourage us that we lift our hands to him, and with a voice of unison, we cry out from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of your heart, Father, glorify your name and your Son. Can we do it?
Yes.
Right, let's say it. One, two, three, and we're going to say it. One, two, three. Father, glorify your name. Zealand. Oh, yes, Lord, do it. Glorify your name. Spend a moment and pray it out. Oh, we want to know that you're glorified, Jesus. Receive the glory for yourself. Receive the glory. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we lay down our own agendas. Lord, for your agenda, for the glory of your name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glorify your name. Oh, wow. Yes. Pray it in the next few weeks. Amen. When you think about the elections, just pray. Very simple. It was a very simple prayer. And remember, Jesus could have asked the Father, sent him 12 legions of angels to save him. That's what he said. 12 times 6,000 in a legion. He could have asked for 72,000 angels to come and rescue him. But instead, he chose to pray, Father, glorify your name. Isn't that amazing? Don't you love him? Yeah, okay, just be seated. How are we going? Yes, we're doing well. Who's laughing? Geraldine's the culprit over there. So, last verse, the last one. Thank you, Margaret. Our destiny, we know, is to be like Jesus. Yep, no one's going to be arguing with that. And that ultimately will happen in all its fullness when Jesus returns. You know, the first resurrection, Mike Connell has spoken a lot about that, and so has Wes in recent days. But this is the Passion Translation. Children, you can look at this one too, because it's good for you, children, to understand this as well. Shall we read it together? For he knew all about us before we were born, and God destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. And part of that, when you think about becoming like Jesus, we think, oh goodness, we're going to have that new body. Yay! You know, miracles will flow, you know, and we're going to be without sin, you know, totally. It's going to be glorious. But I thought, have we actually stopped to think we're going to relate to our Father like Jesus did? It's not going to work any other way, really, is it? Really? It's not. You know, he's the pattern son. So God is in a process now. If you have become his child and you are a son and daughter in this place, we're already on our journey of learning to relate to Father God. But as I said to you before, I was 17 when I first received Jesus. But it took me up to 45 years of age before that knowledge of Jesus being my Father went from here to here, because I was pretty performance-oriented. In fact, sometimes I ask people when I preach on Father's love, is a Father's love a gift or a reward? And I have had people tell me, haven't I, Wayne? It's a reward, Sally. Let's smash that. Smash it. The Father's love comes to us as a free gift because He loves us, always has, from the foundation of the world. But I tell you, we can very often see fathers and the word father, and it conjures up very negative images to us because we've walked in our homes, or lack of dads, or dads that weren't able to reflect anything too much of Father God. Sometimes I tell people when we use the name Father, you almost have to take it, wash it in the blood of the Lamb, and redeem the name and give it back to people. Because we can have so many things associated with that word dad, that word father. And yet, and I wondered, because I know many of us here, you've already had that revelation. It's gone from your head to your heart. Am I right? Because I tell you when I woke up, because I used to preach on God being father before I was 45. Of course I did, you know. But he wasn't real. Well, I thought he was. But I think when crisis actually hits, that's when you find out how real things really are. Because once Andrew got sick back then, I thought, oh, does Father really love me? What have I done wrong to have this crisis happen in the home? And I said these words, which were my giveaway line. Do you know what I said? And I've served you all these days, Lord, Father, and this is all I'm getting out of it, a sick husband. Now that tells you, does that tell you a lot about where my heart was at the time? All those people who do prayer ministry, you would say, got it. She's performance oriented. She thinks she has to earn Father's love. And when things go all wrong, she's doubting that the Father still loves her. And this is the journey we all go on in life. And the sooner it gets from head to heart, the better, isn't it? How did it get from my head to my heart? Because I woke up one day. Andrew was in hospital, and I think my parents had taken my three daughters, and so the house was empty, and I woke up, and just these words were going, are you willing, Sally? And I thought, what is he talking about? And then I had this picture. I saw myself on one side, and I'm crying, and I'm really literally crying. And then there was a big wall. I don't know how God shows you this stuff, but you just get it, don't you? And on the other side, I was really aware that the God was crying. And he was trying desperately to reach me. So I rang up my good friend. Some of you would know who she is. Glennis. I said, look, this is what I'm seeing. And she said, what? We better get the wall down then, hadn't we? You know. Oh, and she made herself so available. I went round and we just talked about the wall, and it was so full of fears and stuff. And honestly, she obviously knew it was all coming from, you know, father relationships and things. I had a good dad, but he was very authoritarian, so I always expected. If I was alone with my dad, he'd take the time to tell me what I'd done wrong. So you can see how that impacted my relationship with Father God, you know. And so the wall came down, and then Glennis said to me, Sally, why don't you receive God as your father? And I didn't argue, because I thought, well, we see Jesus as Savior and Lord. That makes sense. Okay. You know, the Father you always long for. So that's how I prayed, a very simple prayer. Jesus, thank you for showing me what your dad is like. Today I'm receiving your Father as my Father. And the light went on. And it went from head to heart. And I've never looked back. We've been through some critical things, you know, over the years since that day. But I've never doubted Father's love ever again. Because it went from my head to my heart. Isn't that amazing? As I received him, and I received him into my heart, and I just sensed his love. And I went to visit Andrew, and I was just buzzing. God was my father. God's my father. And what's wrong with you, Sally? You know, what? You know, you're so happy. What's going on? And I had to tell him, I've just received God as my father, and he's gone from here to here, and I know he loves me. Can you tell your heart? You see, Wayne and I have both had revelations of Father God. Now, that's how it happened for me. Can you just say in 5 minutes just how it happened for you? Because his was totally different, totally different. Because God has different ways of revealing his Father heart to every single one of us. But it's still an absolute must if you're going to live and walk in a relationship with Father God like Jesus did. Okay.
Thank you, dear. Well, I came from a home that was pretty tough. My father was a dysfunctional alcoholic. He had beat my mother and the kids. Apparently, my two oldest my two older siblings, they used to get beaten not with the strap but with the buckle. And it was just a horror thing. When Dad was coming home and he was drunk, everybody ducked for cover. So that was a very disturbing thing to be living in and not knowing the love of a natural father. And then that was amplified because the nuns at the Catholic school that I went to, they used to say, if you do anything wrong, God will come with a stick and whack you. And again, that reinforced that horrible thing, that father was a monster that was going to punish me. And then it came many years, I received Christ and I was loving the Lord, and things were going so well. And my wife was diagnosed with a brain tumor, my late wife, and in 1983, I think it was, and was given 6 weeks to live. And that was tough. Told my four kids, mum's going to die, but God. And we showed her the Bible, showed the kids, and we're going to believe the word. And that 6 weeks became 6 months, 6 years, almost 25 years. And we visited 35 nations together. It was a wonderful thing. And then she dies. And oh, I had to go through that stuff. Grief. It's horrible. And part of the way through that, well, at the end of it, really, I went to a meeting in Auckland from the team from Bethel Church in California. Chris Gore was there. There was others there, not Bill Johnson, but others of his team were there. And in one of the meetings, they said, on Thursday morning, we're going to have a soaking service. And if you want to come early, and we just soak ourselves in God's presence. And I thought, wow, I'm for that. And so we got there early, and there's about 200 people had beaten me to it already. And we're waiting there, and they just said, get to a place in the room where you feel comfortable and just wait on his presence. There was no hype, music, nothing. And so I went up to the front, and I just waited on the Lord. And all these crazy suggestions, I've left the gas on. I didn't have gas at home. All the stuff to distractions came. And I just said these words, Lord, I just want to come into your presence. Just like that. In the spirit, I was in heaven. Just like that. I could see this vast amphitheater. Vast. I mean, we saw the sign photos of these big crusades that have a couple of million people. This was huge, as far as I could see. But it was noisy. There were rainbows. There's lightnings. There was thunder. There was praise. Shouts of praise, and the presence of God would come, and waves of love, waves of goodness and kindness, and the nature of Father God would just come out and hit the people, and they'd shout their praise. And I thought, wow, this is a good place. And in this place, I then had the revelation that my earthly father had never held me in his arms, nor had he ever said the words, I love you, Wayne. And I thought, that stink. That was my actual words. I thought, that stink. But I wasn't hurt by it, because I was in heaven. And you know, that damaging stuff can't get you when you're in his holy of holy places. And it's all love and all goodness and kindness. And I just, it was just wonderful. And then I looked over and I could see in the middle there was this big sort of throne type place, and there was light emanating around that was just huge. And then a figure stood up and walked out through the people and came towards me. And I couldn't see his face, but I thought, I wonder if this is Jesus. All right? I'm having this experience in heaven. And I couldn't see his face because the light was just majestic emanating from him. He was like a silhouetted as he came. But he said this word, Wayne. Oh, and that's a word, that voice I have heard in my years as a Christian. I knew him as Jesus. And I said, oh, my heart just sort of gave a leap. It's Jesus. And he said these words, Wayne, when your earthly father couldn't love you, couldn't, not wouldn't, he was incapable of giving love. He said, when he couldn't give, when your earthly father couldn't love you, I placed you into my father's arms. Now just let that sense set into your heart. When the natural earthly father or the circumstances of life is harsh, Jesus at that time, and I wasn't even a Christian back then, but he just said, when he couldn't, I placed you into my father's arms. Like that. Oh, he just got overwhelmed with this amazing love. Oh, incredible stuff. Many scriptures, just came through my mind. And things like, for God so loved the world, you know, loved the world, and the enormity of that love just hit me in waves, and hit me in waves. And so I became very aware of the love of Father. It is so powerful. It is so healing. And it's for all of us. God bless you.
You can stay like, oh, I'm here. Okay. Well, there's two very different stories, but the same outcome, you know? And so God knows how to reveal his love to you today. I know many of us, you've already had that head-to-heart experience, but there may be some sitting here today. I've never known the revelation of Father's love go from my head into my heart so that I know that I know that I know that I'm loved. Because your relationship with your Heavenly Father will be dependent on how much you know that he loves you. True? And you can have all the right doctrine in the world, but unless, it's, you know, like the walls have to come down. And for me, and I think many times when I've prayed with people like this, you need to forgive those ones who've given you a false image of Father God. That can be your mum, or it could be your dad, it could be anyone in leadership that, like the nuns, helped Wayne to keep that image of what a father was really like. It just built on it. But those walls can come down so fast, and the Father's love can just come and blanket us this morning. And that's what we're believing for. So why don't we just stand to our feet? And I tell you, we saw when we were overseas, just the blanket of Father's love just come down on many times, and he would just do it. So we don't intend to have to lay hands on people. You just open up your heart. And if you want to know God as your Father in a new way, you can just receive him. And who knows? Who knows how it will be for you? God knows how to make that revelation very real. So just let his presence come. Just open up your heart. Jesus, we just want to say thank you to you today that you so showed us how to relate to your Father. And it's amazing that your Father becomes our Father when we receive you. And Lord, I thank you. I didn't mention this, but it's there in John 17 that Jesus said the Father loves us as much as he loves his own Son. That's the truth. So, Father, I just thank you that you love your people right now. And you know every single heart here. You know, Lord, those that are still carrying pain and a longing to know what a father is truly like. I remember Jackie won't mind me telling you this. She was 7 years old when her dad died. And some years later, she was at King's Christian School, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was on the floor, and the Holy Spirit said to her, Jackie, you can call me Daddy now. So if there's children here, and you're longing for a dad or longing for a mom, he's able to meet you there. He can minister to little children. Aren't you glad that Jackie got that revelation when she was a very young girl? We don't have to wait till we're 45 or older. Every young person that's listening to me, Open your heart. Let Father's love just come in and envelop you today. So why don't we pray? And just pray that simple prayer that I prayed. As you let all the walls come down, just take a minute, if you need to forgive anyone that's given you a wrong image of Father God. And may the Holy Spirit take the word Father and just wash it in His blood today and give it back to you redeemed. So would you like to just pray after me? A very simple prayer. Children, you can pray this too. Young people, you can pray it too. Let's say, thank you, Jesus, that you came and showed us what your Father is like. You came and showed us how to relate to Him. And we want to get to know you, Father, as Jesus did. And so today, I open up my heart and I receive you, Father God, as the Father I've always longed for. Come and hold me in your arms now and love me. If this meant something to somebody, I can feel it in the spirit. Just let Him come and wrap His big arms of love around you and welcome you home to His heart. We used to sing with the children years ago, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." But sometimes it's good to pray, "Come into my heart, Father. Come into the depths of my being, Father. Make yourself real to me." And if you're online, I trust you're praying it, that right there in your own home. I wasn't in a church service when I encountered Father. It was in someone else's home. You can encounter Him in your home. But He so wants sons and daughters that love Him in return and that trust Him and that He can trust. And Lord, we thank you today that one day, Jesus, we're going to be like you. And we're going to have that relationship with Father in all of its fullness like you walked in. So just come and minister to your people now. Oh. He may just drop a word into your heart and speak something to you right now. Just be listening. You're greatly loved. You're cherished. He loved you before the foundation of the world.
The Lord said,
can you put the mic on?
The Lord said, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." David got that revelation right back there before the cross. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord said, or Solomon did anyway, the Lord said, "My son, give me your heart." So we're giving our hearts to you today, Lord. We're opening our heart. Might want to reach out and give an expression of, "I'm opening my heart to you right now. Come and fill it, Lord." Father God, Abba, Daddy, come and reveal your love. Lord, memories that might come back into my mind, let your love smother them.
Yes.
And your love just washes away all hateful memories, all hurting stuff, all rejection, all denials, all betrayals, all the stuff that would separate us from you. Oh God, right now we open our hearts
yes.
to the pure love of Almighty God, our Father.
Yes, thank you. And little children, they raise their hands up for a hug, don't they? Hug me. And if you're wanting a great big hug from your Heavenly Father, just raise your hands. Oh, just raise your hand. Hug me. I just need a great big hug. Let your love. And look, there may be someone here and you say, well, I haven't even started my Christian journey yet. I haven't received Jesus Christ. I don't know that he's even saved me like Wayne talked about. And if there's anyone like that here today or online, this is a good day to start your journey. Receiving Jesus Christ into your life, repenting of your sin, turning towards Jesus and saying, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart, with all the rest of my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I make the decision today to follow you. And once you receive him like that, the Bible says he gives you the right to become a child, son or daughter of God. And that's when the journey starts. Oh. So if there's anyone like that here today, you'd just like to say, that's me, Sally, just raise your hand. You hear her talking about sons and daughters and you say, well, I'm not sure I'm one. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. But I want to know that I'm a son, daughter of God. Is there anyone like that here? Put your hand up if that is you. There's a few hands up. If that is you and you want to just really know him, know Jesus and receive him, you're very free to come up the front. But I think it would be very good if we just sang that song we sang before, we give you all the glory, don't you think? Could we do that? And Paulette, maybe you can just come and lead it. And we'll just sing, we give you all the glory. And that's it. But if anyone, particularly anyone who had their hands up, you want to just receive Jesus as your own Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come up the front and we'd just delight to lead you in a prayer. But let's just finish by just saying, yes, this is our heart's desire as children of God, that God receives all the glory.